Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Foods and Inn Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Dipali Kumari for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Foods and Inn Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Milind Barar, Managing Director, Mr. Maulik Sahar, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. So, without any further delay, I would like to hand over the call to Anand sir for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello?
Yes, Anand, we can hear you.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have with us our CEO, Mr. Maulik Sahar, and our MD, Mr. Milind Barar, in this conference. Without much ado, we'll just throw this forum open for questions in case you guys have any questions for us to answer. Thank you so much.
Hello, sir?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, you can open the forum for Q&As. We'll directly jump onto it.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures. Please proceed.
Hello. Hi, sir. Very good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yes. So, my question is on your margin side, right? If I see that our volume growth from quarter year-on-year is good, around 10%, but the margin has dropped slightly. So, what was the reason for the?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kushal. Your line is not clear. Can you please use a handset?
Hello. Now, is it audible?
Yes.
It is better now.
Yeah. So, my question on your margin side, right? So, we have good volume growth in our sales, and our margin has dropped slightly. So, what was the key reason?
The reason for the margin drop is that the product mix actually changed this quarter. So, if you actually see, we did a lot more of chili, garlic, and all those products which are actually lower margin products for us. Effects. Also, the variety of mango that we actually sold this quarter, that is also a cheaper variety that we actually had. So, that led to it.
So, are we seeing any improvement going forward in the margin, right? As you have mentioned in the presentation that the mango, the price has dropped significantly. So, are we seeing any good margin expansion going forward?
So, as a practice, what actually happens in our business is ours is a cost-plus model. So, it's a pass-on that actually happens. So, whatever benefits that we get, if we have actually sourced it to the best of our abilities, then if the market is slightly higher, then we get that benefit. If not, whatever is the market rate is what we actually get because it's a cost-plus model. That's how it is.
Okay. And in earlier calls, we have guided that our revenue would be 1,800 crore by financial 27. So, are we in line with that?
See, again, you asked the question before this question whether your margins would improve because your cost has actually come down. The cost has actually not come down basically because it's a pass-on that we actually have. So, my sales price will actually come down because sales is a function of the raw material price, right? But my absolute gross profit will grow. My absolute gross margins will grow. Not margin percentage. I'm saying absolute gross profits will grow. My tonnage will grow is all that I can tell you. whether that 1800 is going to be achievable, it is going to be tough, basically because the raw material price has come down.
Okay, and earlier in the earlier calls, so we have said that we were unable to take tomato sales or order because of the constraint in the capacity. Now we have the good capacity in tomato segment as well. So are we expecting any big order into that?
Yes, I would like to take Molloy Shah. Yes, you are correct. As of December last year, we have expanded our capacity and commercial production started on expanded capacity. So stock already built up and we are expecting a good growth in this current financial year. Last year our tomato, particularly tomato based product sale may in the range of 75 to 80 crore. This year, this financial year we are expecting could grow to around 130 to 140 crore. So yes, we are quite bullish on this tomato product.
And sir, as our the price has dropped fallen in the mango, so are we expecting any good amount of releasing working capital side as well?
So with respect to working capital, definitely yes, we are expecting lower working capital to be deployed on per tonnage basis this year, basically because say Totapuri prices, which was approximately 27 rupees a kg on procurement last year, has come down to around 8 rupees a kg. So there has been a drop. So definitely the 70% of our total raw materials is actually Totapuri that we actually buy. So the deployment into working capital is definitely going to be lesser in terms of per tonnage basis. Also, with the working capital being better for the tomato crop, our total working capital will be much better in this particular year.
Okay. And are we expecting any good volume growth as well in the coming year because of the low prices and all, or the expectation of, because we have procured 20% year-on-year growth in our procurement?
Yes, most of our orders, most of our procurement is in lieu of the orders that we actually have in hand. So it goes without saying that we will be actually having better tonnage.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for asking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Arnav from Ambit Capital. Please proceed.
I have a question. So the first question is, can you please give some details on the capacity expansion you're planning for the spray-dried powder department?
Molloy here. The spray drying powder business, we see good opportunity. In last 18 months period, we are seeing that spray drying is basically a seasoning business. And in this category, volume expected growth is quite significant, especially in the export market. And export market is looking for more purity product. So we would also like to venture in this particular category. So we are looking or exploring a line which will maybe around 4 to 5 per day capacity. Currently, our capacity is around 6 metric ton per day. So we would like to expand by 4 to 5 metric ton per day capacity. It's under initial stage, decision not yet taken, but I think very soon we'll come to a decision on this.
Right, and one question regarding just the financial aspect. So the gross profit per metric ton fell by around 10% year on year. So, I mean, could you highlight what was the main reason for this?
I just took that question earlier in the queue, wherein I mentioned the product mix which was actually sold was different, because of which the margin profile went down.
Okay, sure. Thanks for taking my question.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask the question may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Just on the previous question, actually, I couldn't hear you properly. So the current capacity is 6 metric ton per day, and you're planning to expand it to how much?
By another 4 to 5 metric ton per day.
Okay.
This is for spraying.
I'm sorry?
This is for spray dried powder unit.
Right. Okay. And on to my question. So, can you give me a revenue breakup between the segments for this quarter?
We don't give that data. It's only on the annual basis that we give that data out.
Okay. And any revenue and margin guidance for FY26?
We generally don't guide on the margin profile at all, basically because we are a cost-plus model that we follow as a business. So absolute growth in gross profit is the only thing that we target, which will flow through to the bottom line is what we believe.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agija from HG Hawa. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So what is the total committed capex for 26-27 and how much has already been spent?
As I mentioned in my last answer, that we have not yet decided. It's under preliminary stage. So as of today, there is no major capex plan, but as and when we will take the decision to expand the spray tank capacity, then we will be able to tell you better. Just to add, Salal, so currently all the capex which were planned is already up and running, and as Mr. Mulloy mentioned, there's hardly. However, there are new schemes that the government keeps coming up with, and there is currently something called the cluster development, and we seem to be eligible for it, but there will be multiple kind of presentations that we need to do our own analysis. So neither has our taken a firm decision as to what we expect to do. But in subsequent calls and subsequent quarters, should we take a call on the capex, we will definitely let you all know. But specific answer as of today, all the capex is over what was planned earlier.
And the second question was about the debt reduction policy. Like, can you just brief us about what is the debt reduction policy? Because the debt stands at 427 crore.
Debt reduction policy, so there are two parts to it. One is the working capital part of it. The second is the long-term debt part of it, right? So the last year was a double whammy for us, wherein the raw material prices went up, as well as the call-offs were very slow. So there was a lot of working capital that we had to actually block in there. This year, the raw material prices have come down, because of which my absolute blockage per ton of per tonnage of sales of working capital would be very low. As also the newer crops like tomato, which are actually adding on to our portfolio, not the newer crops, but then the volumes that would go higher than that would actually have a shorter turnaround time, because of which the working capital cycle would again come down lower. So we are definitely in a better position as compared to what we were last year, hoping that all the call-offs happen as soon as possible.
Would it be possible to you quantify, Jake, what is the blended average cost of interest?
Last year was around 9.75 or something.
The 420 borrowings, right? 420 crore plus crore.
Sorry, your voice broke.
420 plus crore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
after put together, yes. The second question was like regarding the competition. Like, the large conglomerates are entering the pulp space. Like, how will you defend the market shares?
No large conglomerate has actually entered the pulp manufacturing space. In fact, there is a lot of consolidation which is actually happening in the market.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering. All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pankaj from Affluent Asset. Please proceed.
Well, thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, we had fixed assets worth around 173 crores when our top line was around 1,000 crores. And currently it has jumped, fixed assets has jumped to almost double to 327 crores at the end of FY25. So just wanted to understand how much revenues would it support going forward, and what would be the optimum, how much optimum revenues would it support, and just any timeline, if any?
Hi, I'm not sure whether you've been tracking our company or when you've been tracking our company from. So just to reiterate our business model, we have a model wherein we produce in-house as well as we actually produce through satellite capacities which are there. So the satellite capacities helped us grow from 300 odd crores to 1,000 odd crores during the period where we were putting up capex. And we had to put up a lot of capex before end of FY24 because that is what we had committed under the PLI scheme of the Government of India, which we duly did, for which we are also getting incentives from the Government of India. So that's one part of the question. Second, with respect to the capex that we have put up, we had guided initially that we would be reaching 1,700 to 1,800 crores of revenue by FY27. But having said that, the raw material prices itself have come down, because of which that 1,700, 1,800 number is definitely at risk. Having said that, again, the top line is not something that we always see in our business. It's the gross, absolute gross profit that we do. So the tonnage increment that will actually happen, which will contribute to the absolute growth in gross profit, will definitely happen.
So are there any targets set?
Targets for what?
For top line, bottom line.
I told you top line is a function of the raw material as it is a cost plus.
Right.
So
right.
Gross, absolute growth in gross profit is the only thing that we target internally, because then it flows through to the bottom line.
I would just add up here just to give some bit of a guidance that our sales are also dependent on the brands procuring the material. And currently, as we see that the brands are, you know, expanding their capacities, nonetheless, they have enough budgets to support their brand. And we have some bit of an indication that our volumes are going to increase. And balance of the answers, as Anand put up, that the top line and the bottom line will be a function of the raw material cost. But in essence, there is growth that one should expect.
Okay. Second question, sir. As we would sweat in our new capacities, which I mentioned, as I mentioned, from FY24 to 25, is there any possibility that our margins will expand despite, say, for a drop in raw material prices?
Yes, there is always a possibility of increasing margins.
So any tentative target, say, from 12% last year
I can never give you a percentage, my dear friend. I've always told you ours is a cost-plus model. So if the raw material cost goes to 100 rupees, I say, example, if my markup is 7, I give it at 107. If the raw material price is 50, if the markup is 7, I give it at 57. So the percentage will always vary. So there is no guidance that we will ever be able to give on the percentage. Only the absolute growth in gross profit is something that we will be targeting internally.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Praveen, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good afternoon. So this is Praveen. I have a few questions, like how much percentage of sales coming from United States of America?
Around $7 to $8 million.
In terms of percentage, sir?
It will be around 8%.
Thank you. 8%. And do we have any impact of USA tariffs, recent tariffs announced, something like 25% now and going to be 50% starting from 27th August?
It's too early to say because always there will be a knee-jerk reaction. Few customers are continuing or with their shipment. Few customers are keeping on hold for next couple of weeks. So I don't think it's the right time to give this answer, whether there will be a long-term impact or not. But nevertheless, I'd like to highlight that we are in a food product, and we have seen from the earlier also that these are the last item which is generally getting affected for any cross-border relationship or whatever. So we don't see any major impact. In fact, the projection which you have received from the customers just before this additional tariff, almost 20-25% growth we could have expected in this year. But for the time being, everything is on hold. Basically, for any future projected volume is on hold till we are everybody has a clarity on what will be the final duty applicable for Indian food products which you are supplying.
Excellent. Thank you so much, sir. And next question is like, do you have any plans of adding mango jelly to your portfolio, which is very, very, very profitable, around 5,500 rupees per kg?
Sir, we are a B2B company. So, yes, we are supplying to many companies who are doing mango jelly or mango-related products, but directly we are not there where we will be launching our own product in mango jelly brand or whatever. So we being a B2B company, I think our focus is very clear that we'd like to grow in this segment, though in a small portion we are also exploring in frozen category on B2C, and obviously spice is another segment where we are doing a B2C. But on the mango and other fruit pulp, we would like to remain into the B2B segment only.
Great. And coming to the equity numbers, I see the equity is expanded from 5 CR in 2023 to 7 crores 34 lakhs in 2025. Do we have any further plans of increasing the equity by way of rights issue or something else?
We always explore all the opportunity, all the which is good for the organizations. So as and when any development, definitely all of you will come to know. But as of now, we have nothing to say more than that.
Because the equity is very, very less. 7 CR is nothing nowadays. And we have the huge debt. Why can't we reduce it by increasing the equity by rights issue?
I think only equity 7 CR may not be a right parameter to judge. You have to say take the share premium.
Hello?
Total equity, what has been invested in the organization apart from the profit, reserve from the profit. So I think you have to add the share.
The reason for this question is, sir, like lot of big investors, HNIs or mutual funds look for the big equity and big market cap. So the only way to reach there, that is 1000 CRM cap or so, I feel equity is the right way to increase and liquidity will be increased. So
yes,
please
sir,
consider
I
it.
I agree with you. That's the way. That's why I told you that companies always explore multiple opportunities. And as and when we'll be able to take some decision on this, any opportunity, we'll be all let you know.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one at this time. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Amit Agija from NG Hawa. Please proceed.
Sahyadri Farms in the same region has given a very good model in which they have set up like a cooperative of farmers and they export together and maintain the quality at their end. Do we have any kind of expertise to do something similar? And if yes, what are the steps are we taking to increase the personnel in that category?
Very good question. I think this is a very interesting question, I must say. Yes, we are in this business in 55 years. We are having farmers tied up for mango and guava category for a long term, and where we supply pesticide controlled or pesticide residue product in US or in Europe, and that business is growing. And second important is Sahyadri is definitely is a, they have the direct tie-up with lot of farmers, specifically for the fresh fruit. Grapes is their main business. Just informed you that a few minutes ago that government is launching new cluster development program. So we are also exploring that opportunity if through that scheme, if we can tied up larger numbers of farmers for any cluster development near to our factory. So we are exploring all these things. If everything good go, I think then probably we can also have this type of tie-up with the scale of farmers.
But sir, we would require a lot of earthy kind of individuals like Vilas Shinde who would head this kind of thing, and this cannot be done by somebody who is from corporate India. So,
sir, I would like to restrict all these comments. As a company, we won't be able to comment on this thing. But
as an MD, I am happy to just say that if we are in experience with 50 years in this business and commanding a position to be the number one processor, we should only strive to be better from where we are and not worry about who is operating how, you know. So,
sir, you did not allow me to complete my question, sir. My question was not about the present management. I was saying that if we want to do such a model, we will need some people who are amongst the farmers, and maybe they could have some shareholding or some, I don't know how we could incentivize them, but this is a huge opportunity, and this could be like the cooperative movement for milk, what it did for the cooperative movement, the same thing it could be done for fruits and vegetables. And as you rightly said, you are right there, right with this 50-55 years experience, and so much goodwill is also there for us with, from the farmers. So I mean, this is a model that we could probably pick up, and it just needs some personnel from what you could call the son of the soil kind of people. Is the board of directors thinking within those lines?
I think Molloy here. What I'd like to say, we are already having this type of tie-up in Konkan region for the mangoes. And however, we are exploring the similar kind of tying up for other fruits and vegetables in other parts, and through FPOs. Now, as you know, FPOs is one of the instrument which will be very effective to have a larger kind of tying up with larger number of farmers, and we are exploring that opportunity. Through the government's cluster program, where government is also would like to associate all these things. It's a very initial stage, so not the right time to tell all these things. But we are also working through the cluster development program, almost similar other competition, what they are doing it.
So how has been our experience with the PLI scheme, and do we see any traction on the brand recognition of our products? And secondly, sir, how are we taking to the Q-commerce opportunity? Do we have any kind of sales increase from these categories from our private label? And you talked about spices. Is there any different strategies that we will pursue to really push these spices in the Western India?
So I'll take this question.
So under PLI, there were two categories in which we were actually selected. One was category one and another was category three. Category three was related to branding and marketing. And in branding and marketing, basically we had committed to spend around 5.4 crores. But this was all to be spent outside India. We were, as a company, not 100% ready to spend that money because of our distribution systems not being in place at the branded retail level, you know. So we haven't spent that money and we are not claiming anything back from the government. So we were supposed to get around 2.7 crores back from the government on a spend of 5.4 crores. So with respect to that, we are not claiming anything from the government. But having said that, the other capex that we did under category 1 of PLI, under which we are supposed to get 145 odd crores, we've already received 50 crores from the government of India. And another 95 odd crores is pending to be received in the next 3 years.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novise Investment Managers. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, if you can give us some sense of the volume growth, you know, if not a margin, I understand you said Tuticorin Brewery prices have crashed. So one, if you can give us some sense of the volume growth this year. And second, in that context, you know, should we assume, you know, the, say, gross profit margin per ton to be similar and hence, you know, the gross profit margin also similar, you know, for the year. And, you know, if you can give us some directionally some, you know, idea. And the third and the last question, sir, will be on the debt side, you know, given that, you know, maybe our working capital debt will be low, if you can give us some sense of where it will, you know, probably be.
So I think with respect to the current level of inventory, if I were to actually take whatever we have actually processed, then the working capital should have ideally peaked because the working capital requirement is quite... Hello?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So the working capital debt should have already peaked with the current level of processing that we have already done. So that is number one. Sorry, I didn't catch your first two questions.
Yeah, so I was saying, sir, one, should we, can we guide, can you guide us on the volume front? And maybe, you know, last year, if I remember correctly, we had, you know, 8 to 10% volume growth. Should we assume a similar kind of growth this year also?
20%, around 20% is what we are expecting internally.
Okay. Okay, so that's very
nice. MS, you can correct me on that.
Yeah. That's our target, yes.
Yeah. And sir, also we wanted to know, you know, you mentioned the gross profit margin, you know, is normally similar. But you also mentioned that this year, first quarter, the mix was on a lower variety or lower, you know, per ton kind of a thing. So maybe this year, first quarter, the margin was a little lower. The question is, sir, with Tuticorin variety going down, assuming that I'm not sure whether, you know, that will be at a higher price in terms of our margins being, you know, should we assume the gross profit margin per ton to be similar or better? If you can just directionally guide, that will be helpful.
It should be better.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Amit Ayeja from NG Hava. Please proceed.
What are our total export revenues as opposed to our total revenues? And second, sir, do we participate regularly in export based seminars, conferences, etc., with stalls there? And who are our buyers in export? Are they like distributors or are they retail chains? And one more thing, will any of this rupee recent depreciation, will it go straight to the bottom line for us?
Okay. This is Molloy. I'll reply to you. Our export turnover, out of our total turnover, is around 35% to 38%.
Last year was 40%.
Last year was 40%, so that was the turnover for export.
For the participation in exhibition, yes, this is one of the main platform where we always participate. There are two major food exhibition taking place across the world. One is every alternative year. One is the Cologne and Onuga Food Fair. Another is the CL in Paris, another food fair. Both, all every year we participate. Maybe last 25-30 years we are participating. We also participate in Gulf Foods. These are the three. Apart from this, we are exploring that from next year if we can participate in U.S. because that market is also growing. So probably one of the U.S. Food fair, we would like to exhibit there. Now
are there any plans to increase more fruits intake also, like guava is like a big share for us? So is there any plan to now process even more fruits and vegetables? And also, sir, are we in talks with any kind of further MNCs also to do some contract manufacturing for them?
We do not do any contract manufacturing with any MNC. Just a buyer and seller association with us. And where we get a order and we supply, it's a long term. It must be 2 decades, 3 decades. We are coordinating like with Coca-Cola since 2006. We are supplying. We must be supplying since 90s onwards. So that relationship is continuing. And second is, yes, we always talk to most of the big brands to have any kind of association development our product, new product for them. In fact, I think it's a good forum. We must say that our new R&D center is likely to start in operation in another 1 month time. It is in Nasik, where we are doing a centralized R&D, where all our product R&D center will be centralized, and we will be jointly working with the customers to develop their product. They can visit our facility, develop their product before the commercial run. So this is, I think this will be a good help for us to future growth. And from the customer point of view, yes, we are supplying to any reputed brand internationally like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo. Apart from that, any big ice cream manufacturing unit, we are there. We are also working on tomato product like Unilever for their kitchen brand. So these are the companies are there. If you see our top 10 customers or top 12 customers, these are all Fortune 500 companies who contribute more than 65 to 70% of.
And sir, what would be the contribution of our top 10 customers to our total revenue?
Around top 12 will be around 65% to 70%.
Okay, that's very good. No, so just like we are so active in mango, tomato and guava, is there any plan to add more fruits to this?
We
would like to go deeper in these categories only?
No, these categories are definitely we are going more and more, whatever value addition we can do, but new product also we are exploring, especially on jamun is one of the product we are trying to see any opportunity. We see some traction on this segment. But we are working on vegetable slide in a big way, because frozen category in our business is growing last 3 years in a significant pace. And we are adding more and more product in the frozen category. Like frozen vegetables in India, from India, it's a big market not only for the Indian diaspora, but also for the European and US mainstream business. And we would like to take this opportunity. Hence, contract farming for the frozen vegetable category is a main focus for us. We are working with the farmers for pesticide control product, and which is growing in a big way.
And sir, my question about Q commerce remained unanswered. Are we trying to get into those because now distribution is generally democratized, so a strong product company like yours should be able to sell even India retail quite easily.
Sir, as I think I told earlier also, that we are not in B2C segment. Our main focus in B2B. However, for the Q-commerce, we are working with few reputed brand in Q-commerce to pack for them and distribute. So not in our own brand, maybe in their other brand.
So their private label would be done by us.
Yes.
So, I mean, just to elaborate on your earlier question,
Any Fortune 500 beverage manufacturer globally is someone whom we actually supply to as of today. And I mean, with respect to the product portfolio that you were actually mentioning, apart from mango, we also, I mean, the mango, tomato, and guava are the major ones, but we also do banana, papaya, chili, garlic. All these products are also there in our portfolio. So Capital Foods actually does a lot of chili and garlic from us as such for their branded products. So we do sell to them.
And sir, can our spices does not also be an entire separate, you know, large business on its own, because now it's actually only 21 crores. And, you know, with our kind of product procurement, etc., I mean, this category itself could be like a 1,000 crore category, even say, so like 10 to 15 years from today.
We have definitely underperformed. The first couple of years, I mean, it was basically because of COVID that we didn't want to go big. But after that, we have now put the people into place, but the results have not yet started coming. So we have underperformed for sure, but we have larger numbers in sites for us.
And sir, how soon do we change people, you know, if the results don't come in?
That's a tough question. It's not always about, I mean, just getting the timing right. It is about believing in people as well.
Correct. Thank you, sir, for answering my question so well. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one now. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, guys. I would like to thank each and every one of you for your support and your invaluable questions and presence on this call. Now I request the moderator to close this forum and wish you all a great evening.
Thank you, management members. On behalf of Foodzen Inn, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.